What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you? Benanda, londi, londi, donda.
I'm doing so well. Such a fun week we've already been having. Yesterday, we were on the Jeff Lewis show, so thanks to everyone who listened. I think there's replays of that still available, either on SiriusXM's app, maybe, or maybe it's on YouTube. So go check that out. So thanks to everyone who listened. That was so fun. You got to talk more about BravoCon. Your stories are just so hilarious. And by the way, if you want to hear Ronnie's stories from BravoCon, we did a two-part bonus episode that's exclusively on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/watchourcrappens, and you'll get to hear all of Ronnie's experiences wandering about Las Vegas, running into Bravo celebrities, running into listeners, running into Jeff Lewis on the side of the road. So go check
and
that
Ben's
out.
Ben's experiences covering it from home.
My experiences,
which is
tracking
like
at home.
Half episode. Yeah, because I didn't go into a lot of the things that you're supposed to do there. I just talked to everybody the whole time, of course. So that's just me. When I go to a party, I stay outside and talk to everybody too. I thought that would have to stop when I stopped smoking because, you know, you have to be inside more. Nope. Might just walk around talking to everybody still. And then Ben actually watched the content that was being shot at BravoCon.
Yeah. So I reported on some of the gossip. I talked about some of the gossip that came out of BravoCon. But anyway, those are like two really fun bonus episodes. We're not going to do a bonus episode next week because we did two this week to talk about BravoCon because it was such a big deal. Also, we're doing something really fun today. You may have heard of the podcast, Even the Rich, because we've actually... A, you may have heard of it because it's a big podcast, but B, we've done ads right here on our own show for Even the Rich, and we are going on Even the Rich today. They're actually having like a live stream, so go check that out. If you listen to this in time, go check out the live stream, but it'll still be up even if you don't listen to this in time. So we're going to be on there talking Vanderpump Rules and stuff like that, so that's going to be really fun. Can't wait to meet some other fellow podcasters. And it's so exciting having you in town, Ronnie, back here in LA this week. It's always so thrilling.
We're in the same space. It's so exciting to be here.
I know. We're going to carpool later. That's going to be fun. So, that's all the good stuff. But today we have to talk some Salt Lake City because it was a supersized episode.
Today.
What did I miss?
Today we get to talk. Slice of Salt Lake City. What a show.
What a
darling.
Show.
The fireworks, the love, the hatred, the villainy, the jewelry.
The jewelry. The lunatic soda offerings. The horrific abuse of Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper finally playing the prominent role of a crackhead that it deserves. Because anybody who loves Dr. Pepper knows that that's crack in a cup. Okay. No other soda does anything to me. I can drink 5 Diet Cokes and not feel a thing. You have 1 Dr. Pepper and suddenly I'm like, how dare you? My mother is abusive.
I was like, let me tell you something. That Dr. Pepper was Monica and little Bobby was Linda just going in hard on that doctor. Just just going at it full strength.
Bobby's always been a cutie pie on this show, but wow, today she really came out as one of my all-time favorites. I mean, this was just a great episode of little soda holic Bobby. You know, like, we saw her, she's like a little mini Kim Richards, and it just grabbed my heart.
And I've heard over the past few years about the soda culture in Utah. Like, it's such a big thing, soda culture.
Yeah.
And this is my first time witnessing it. Cause, you know, and I've seen the TikToks. Like, there was some girl on TikTok who was like, this is how I get my soda. And cause she's in Utah. And then she's like, she gets her Diet Coke and then she puts this in it and then that in it and then that in it. And then she adds this and then that and that. And I was like, oh my God. But now, like, seeing it here on the show, I feel like that was like the element that I was missing from Utah on the show was soda culture. And now I feel like it's really there. And Lisa Barlow's Diet Coke thing doesn't count, cause that's, I would argue, that might even be more gay culture than soda culture. But this was soda culture, as deemed by an outsider.
Very heavy soda culture show. We learned something. You know, this year we're learning about missions and soda addictions.
I know. I love how, like, literally every other podcast that's going to cover the Salt Lake City episode is going to be like, wow, that fight with Monica and Lisa Barlow, that was insane. We're like, the soda.
It's all about the soda.
Soda's the headline for us.
And it really is the different. I mean, Bobby was shit-faced. Bobby was like Nancy from Sid and Nancy. Like, there was a point where I was worried about Bobby, you know?
I was
like, when is she going to check in? I mean, there's ways that apparently you can combine the soda that really crack you out. It was just a really fascinating episode.
Yeah, she was definitely seeing babies on the ceiling by the end of the And by babies, I mean probably just her dad, because her dad kind of looks like a big baby, right? So let's get into it.
By the way, her dad is 7 feet tall. Did you know that Justin's really tall?
I did not know that.
I did not. I was shocked when I saw him.
You saw him in Vegas?
Yeah, he's extremely tall. Very tall person. A very tall man with a derpy dog face plopped on in a handsome way. Okay, so let's do this. We get like a nice song.
It was like a White Lotus, White Lotus, Salt Lake City music,
well,
right?
It was the White Lotus, but not on the wagon. Because I feel like this was this. And White Lotus is like. So it wasn't,
it was
like,
season one, like White Lotus. Season one before they brought in the garble, but it was like. Actually, the White Lotus theme song sounds very much like Whitney arguing. Like, this is how Whitney argues. But Meredith, you said this before. Meredith, you said this before. You know, like, she does have that key change that the White Lotus music does. If you think about it, that is Whitney. It's my theory. Did I have too much soda? Is my theory, or does my theory even hold water?
You're cracked out from mixing your Big Red with your Dr. Pepper. But I feel like Whitney's internal monologue, because, you know, my internal monologue is, oh, my God, do they hate me? What did I do? I probably said something stupid. What did I say? Oh, my God, am I fat? What did I eat today? Oh, God, I hope I fit into those pants. That's how my internal monologue sounds. This is how Whitney's internal monologue sounds.
Especially the part where it goes, you know,
the Wit Lotus.
The Wit Lotus. It was right there. It was right there. The Wit Lotus. Okay.
Sometimes that will be a video. You just gotta wait for it to come.
I mean, because also, Whitney and Justin are White Lotus characters. Let's be honest. They just haven't gone to their resort yet.
They haven't saved up enough money to actually get there.
Would they ever film the White Lotus at a Days Inn?
Motel 6 Lotus.
Days Inn, Days Lotus. Holiday. Days Lotus. Roadway Lotus.
Justin.
All right. Okay, great.
So 5 hours later, we'll just have to hold on. Let me say hi, even the rich. Sorry, we're going to be late. We've been having some meditations on whether Whitney's voice sounds like season one or season two of the White Lotus theme song. Thank you. So we see Monica walking up to a place called Pink Sweets Cafe, which I already hate. I already hate this cafe.
And why do you hate it?
I generally don't like pink foods, especially pink candies or pink sweets.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Just because usually, you know, I have my whole berry thing. I don't like a lot of fruity flavors. So something pink is almost always going to be like that. It's going to be like bubblegummy, or it's going to be like strawberry or raspberry or something. Like, it's just going to be terrible for me. It's going to be terrible. Pink is like,
well,
yeah, it's bad news for me.
I just want to say what's hilarious news for the both of us. In typical Watch What Crappens fashion, the minute we start recording, there's a leaf blower outside. Do you hear it?
Oh,
I'm not even at my own house. And the leaf blower still shows up to fuck us every time.
The leaf blower's like, that
it sticks the end of the leaf blower into the fountain. It's like,
when you just start singing.
So we go to the Sweets Cafe and Monica is there and Angie comes in yet another pair of stupid glasses. How does she have so many stupid glasses?
Well, I mean, glad you asked
that. I've never seen someone with this many pairs of stupid glasses.
Well, I'm glad you asked that because this is the episode where she reaches the end of her line of stupid glasses, because then she goes back. She goes back later in the episode to her oversized pink safety glasses that she was wearing in Palm Springs. She reuses them. And I was like, aha. You ran out. You ran out of She's sunglasses. You cycled back.
Gotcha.
But yeah, she has more crazy sunglasses. And Angie, of course, Angie loves this. She goes, oh my God, I love pink. This is right up my alley. I'm like, pink, have you seen your house? It is stark white. What are you talking about? You love pink.
Oh, but that's her highlights in her house. It has stark white, but then she'll have like pink.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And the dog.
Pink feather boa plates or whatever. So she's like, yeah, perfect place for a little girl. This time I will have a strawberry smoothie and a piece of strawberry Greek cake. And I'm Greek. So
do you have any baklava? So yeah, Monica's like, there's like a wall of like pink roses. And Monica's like, oh my God, girl, you could do like a wall like this in your house. It could be like a content wall. Content, as if you were content.
I brought a gift for your children. It's sort of for you too. It's a sweet book about loving yourself and asking for help when you need it. It's a good message for you and your kids. I felt terrible about the way you felt sad and the way you left things with your mom. Just so that's sad. And Monica's like, well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate it because it's a horse. And that reminds me of Electra, that little bitch. I don't have anything. If that was my horse, my mother would have repossessed that horse. He would have had that horse repossessed.
Oh, I hate that it went so badly. And
me too, especially for Jesus. So Monica's like,
well, for me telling you like what was being said and like that was my way. I'm like being a friend, girl.
You were being such a good friend, Monica. That was so great. At that party where you said you told everybody on camera that her husband fucks lots of other dudes
and his boyfriends.
Wow, hugs. Hugs.
K. Well, I understand that Meredith was the one dropping threats, but Lisa is telling me you're doubling down by saying people are saying he's like good in bed. And like, yeah, he's good in bed. You don't live in a bed the size of a state and not be good in bed. You have to have some sort of skill to even get in and out of that thing. Am I right? Ha 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 ha.
He is good in my bed, but not in somebody else's bed, Greek. So Monica's like looking away and she's like, okay. And she goes, why would you do that? And Monica's like,
I didn't do that. I said something about boyfriends, but I never said anything about his performance.
And then it cuts to
the rumor is that Sean fucks men and he has boyfriends running around the city bragging about their sex.
Okay, well. I mean, lies. And I like that the editors are so good at just throwing Monica under every chance they get, which I think is really funny too.
So Monica was like, I feel like whatever Lisa says to you is like doctrine, girl, and like you believe her over like everyone, and like I'm not gonna attack your relationship with her, but it is very damaging when like she's telling you things that like were said and like were not said, and like my intent was like never to cause harm, girl.
And that is it. I'm done. I am done with this. I just wanted you to know why I still had some feelings. And Monica's like,
yeah, and I'll be more aware of that moving forward.
So they just decide to get over it, right? So
yeah.
Then Angie's like, okay, look, you know, look at us. We just sat down. We had this talk. We got some pink stuff. We didn't raise our voices. We're amazing people. Good for us. That's all I wanted on Greek Easter. And Monica's like, that was the most family thing my children have done in years. No, honestly. And like walking in to see everything that you did with the kids' table, that was great. And then to see Sean's table with like handcuffs and ball gags and gay guys. I mean, that was so cute too.
Yeah, they like don't get to be around like other kids and like family gathering settings, and like those are like core memories that they like don't get to have, girl.
And she says,
Michael, my ex was the one with a mom and a dad and like the brothers and the sisters, and like they had like a big family home, and like I didn't have that. And then like when the affair happened, like obviously that changed everything, girl. Sniff sniff,
and
I'm crying.
And Angie's like, I had no idea about that about you. And she's like,
yeah. And my mom didn't even have the thought, oh, I should protect my daughter.
And she's like, yeah, my mom never came over for the holidays, but after the affair, by the way, did I mention my brothers and sisters were all hot? Okay. Yeah. So after that affair, my mom started coming over for every holiday.
And I'm at least grateful for that. But most of the time it would end in a fight, like, pay for your Range Rover, Angie. It's under my credit. And then she would leave. And I'm like, why did I invite her?
You know, I have to say, well, this is very sad for Monica's children, because it is sad that they are not really getting to have these like family experiences. But it's sort of funny the way she frames it, because she's sort of really glossing over her affair with her brother-in-law in a way like it sounds like, oh, there was a fire and like a house burned down. And so then after that, there was no family. It's like you participated in something that like ultimately caused like a family. You're talking about this, you're wanting a family component for your kids, and you had an affair that kind of destroyed that. And so like she's sort of glossing right, like over
it's
that
your fault. But listen, I'm traumatized every day by things I did to myself, you know. It's just like bad decisions, they follow you forever.
Well, of course she's not going to dwell on it, because you know she was totally liable in this behavior that like probably caused like severed a lot of things for her in her children's lives. But it's funny that she's like, yeah, we don't have like family things, and then my mom would come over and be awful, and then my mom would leave. And by the way, I'm not defending Linda, because we saw last week Linda is terrible. But she's like, yeah, like we can't have family things because Linda comes over and ruins it. I'm like, yeah, but you had an affair too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Linda, you know, and who knows what you can believe from fucking Linda, because she seems to be, she's the original Looney Tune from which this Apple Looney Tune fell.
Yeah.
She's a Looney Tune tree from
she's Looney,
whence this Apple, you know what I'm trying to
she's
say.
She's Looney Tune Alpha. Yeah.
She's the head of this Looney Tune triangle. So, I'm really trying to make Looney Tune trees work in my head. I'm really sorry. I can't let it go. Hold on.
No, I'm just, give me a second. I'm just imagining the opening of Looney Tunes. But instead of like Bugs Bunny, like or the ending saying, that's all, folks, is Linda saying, motherfucker.
Did you call me a fucker? I called you a motherfucker. Okay. So Linda, who knows if we can believe a thing that Linda says, but Linda tweeted that. Wow. The car was repossessed because it was under her credit, yes, but Monica was supposed to be paying the car payments and she didn't pay the car payments. So supposedly that's what happened with the car. So who knows? But anyway, Angie's like, yeah, I had no idea about this. And Monica talks about how, you know, the mom was really never involved, but then she kind of stepped in to come over for all the holidays when the family broke apart. And I was like, okay, so there's a good thing that Linda did. And Angie says, well, I think it's normal that we love our Greek families even when they're at their non-Greek best, you know, moments. But one thing I will tell you, because I want to be able to build trust with you. And she talks about her own mom and how she was an alcoholic and she went through a lot of struggles and self-medicated, and she cries, and it's a really nice scene, actually.
It actually is it's a surprisingly nice scene. Yeah. Angie said, talked about how her mom died when she was 8, which we learned about a previous episode, and that, you know, she just didn't, you know, she was sad that her mom wasn't there for her to watch her grow up to be a young woman and a mother, wife, all that stuff. So sad.
And I think something else that, you know, we're praising this show a lot lately, but I think one other thing this show does really, really well is the musical. They're just not subtle with their musical interludes. They're like, this is a soap opera, period. And nobody's going to fucking argue with me about it. Because mm-hmm. she's like, and my mom was an alcoholic. And the music's like, honey. It's like violins, like really strong telenovela violins. Almost to the point of being funny, you know. But it's this really sad story going on. I just love the music department. The music, and I know it's some queen working it too. And I'd just like to say thank you, queen. Thank you. Your work is acknowledged.
It is 100% acknowledged. It is great, great work. And honestly, the theme song for the show is just so good. When it starts off, and it's like, it's so good. Like, I get a thrill every time they have their credits. I almost want an instrumental.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids.
Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's commercial.
So then I love that. But by the way, also, it's such the perfect visual for this show. Like, here's where the show is also so good. We go from this very emotional and nice scene, albeit in front of a content wall at a pink bakery, but it's a nice scene, and we go from these two women sharing the trauma that they have in their family and their issues with their mothers and the difficulties that they have with their mothers. We cut to Whitney laying out a brown tarp on her lawn. I was like, that is this show. We're gonna now go to some tarp content.
Yep, time to go to Whitney tarp content. But there was one line in that scene as it was ending that I really liked, and I just think we should repeat it just so everyone can hear it. Angie said, listen, Monica, you don't need to recreate what you hated. I think that's such a beautiful thing to tell somebody, because it's true, you know?
Right. And it's also exciting because later in the episode, I feel like Monica does that. So
she does do it.
I think that was there for a reason.
And I think that's totally normal to do it. I think that's the normal trap that we all fall into. You become what you learn. You know, we're all twins of what we came from. It's fucking crazy. We're all patterns of other people. It was like really hard to realize a lot of my own things. You know, I didn't have to blame on myself because they were patterns copied from someone. Now, that doesn't take away any responsibility, but a lot of times you don't even know what you're doing or why you don't like something or why you do like something or why you eat too much or why you're craving alcohol all the time or why you have like so much negativity or so much rage or whatever. And then you kind of realize you're just a pattern of the people that made you, you know, and they're just a pattern of the people that made them. It's a sick fucking cycle, you guys. So, Auntie, thank you for saying that out loud, because we need to hear it over and over. I think that's going to be the main lesson for the show.
Well, I guess that means I'm going to start watching a lot more Judy Woodruff.
I'm going to start getting really wasted at restaurants and cradling my temple between my thumb and my index finger and saying, you know what you need?
I guess
what you need.
I guess
I'll tell you what you need.
This makes sense why suddenly I'm playing my TV really loud while watching the PBS NewsHour. We are our parents.
I'm flipping the Dillard's tags inside of my clothes before I go to dinner.
I was gonna say, I guess this means I'll be singing along to Aretha Franklin or Tina Turner soon, but I've been doing that since I was a child. That pattern started when I was five.
Yeah,
also created by my one. I have a memory because of my mom. I have a memory of going to Caldor's, which no longer exists, but going to Caldor's and my mom buying the Private Dancer record. And me seeing Tina Turner on that and being like, look at that lady with that wig. Wow. I was like so amused by her hair. And the rest is history. That's what I think that was a formative building block to getting me into becoming like a gay podcaster. It's going to Caldor's and getting a Private Dancer album. But that's I'm recreating
that's why
you're
what I loved. Whipping it out at the end of recaps.
Dutch marks or dollars, American Express will do nicely, thank you. Let me loosen up your collar. Now tell me, you wanna see me do the shimmy again? I'm Greek.
Do what you want me to do. I'm your private
Greek lady. A Greek lady for pleasure.
All right. So, Whitney, we need to get to the Whitney Tarp content. Because I feel like we said Whitney Tarp content and then we went off of it. And people are like, oh my God, what is happening with Whitney and the Tarp?
People are like, yes, they're going to talk about the Tarp. The Tarp content actually never becomes totally clear. It's not really, I'm never sure why she's, do we see why she puts out a tarp? She just puts out a tarp. Is this like her hobby?
No, she puts out a tarp day. Because Lisa is coming over and they are painting tiki torches.
That's right.
To go along with Bobby's party, which is like Hawaiian beach theme party. And so for some reason that means painting tiki torches. So
this is spoiler alert. They decide to have like a sunset in Hawaii party. Sort of a luau, which they decide to do indoors at a roller rink in a place that looks nothing like Hawaii. So
I know, I was like, are roller rinks just big in Hawaii? What's happening?
Does the roller rink represent like the Big Island, or are we rolling around it? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it was never really explained. Basically, it's just a big excuse for everyone to get shit-faced on Dr. Pepper
and wear Hawaiian
shirts. It's a drug party.
And to prop up some unlit tiki torches in the corner. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa comes over. Hey, are you ready to do this? And she has all these tiki torches. And he's like, this week might actually be the week that tips me over the edge. I have two large events back to back. Bobby's 13th birthday and my prison event. Introducing my jewelry line. To prisoners. No, prison. I have to remember it's prison, not prison.
I wish it was a jewelry line for prisoners. That would be much better. Like bracelets formed out of like toothpicks. Well, what are you allowed to have in prison? Probably not a toothpick, right?
Maybe soap bars. Here is your soap bar earring. Enjoy. Don't wear in the shower.
Let's see. So yeah, she's stressing because she's having two parties right in a row.
By the way, I just want to say this is bullshit stress because I was under the impression that she was having like the parties were back to back on the same day, like Bobby's rink in the afternoon and then Prism event in the evening. I was like, that is stressful. But there were two separate days, and I think that does not count in the same way. So I say that this stress is embellished. Embellished.
And stress. I think they're two weekends apart. Wasn't that the thing that Justin couldn't be there one weekend, but he could be there the next? Something like that.
I think they were 2 days apart. But the point is she's acting like they were like she had to run from one to the other. I'm like, you have a full night. And the other one is just putting out jewelry on little cases.
Yeah. Just how dare you.
Sorry.
So Whitney's like, okay, thank God for skincare, Botox, and a good friend. Cause what's a party without them? I look bad as I feel. Can I do that again?
So, is Bobby ready for her party? Now that she's 13, she gets to drink all the things in her soda. And Whitney goes, yeah, my mom's coming. Amazing! How did you get your mom to come? Did you leave a trail of Diet Dr. Peppers?
So I'm lost, to be honest with you. I'm looking through my notes. I don't get it. Have we talked about she's going to get a golf cart?
No, but she basically right now she's saying how Whitney's mom was not going to come, but then Bobby called up and was like, look, I can make grandma come to anything I want. And so she basically...
Yeah, here's my issue with the Jolene story. First of all, her name is Jolene, and Jolene stole Dolly Parton's man. There's a very famous song about it. So kind of whenever you meet someone named Jolene, you're like, fuck Jolene.
And that song is called Private Dancer. Oh, wait, wrong song.
Jolene.
I'm Greek. Angie sings the hits.
Please, unless you're Greek, don't fuck my man.
Opa.
So, yeah, Jolene kind of sucks for that. But now I know there are people named Jolene, so I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, but you're already slut-shamed, you know what I mean? Just because of your name. So blame your parents. Yeah. What parents are like, you know what? Let's name our kid after that lady who slept with Dolly Parton's man and sang about it and slut-shamed the name Jolene forever. Let's name our kid that. That's better names, guys. There's even books of names that you can pick with better names than that. Anyway, Jolene.
Jolene.
I didn't care about Jolene because they made this big drama like, oh my God, Jolene wouldn't come. And then we had to get Jolene to come. And then we finally got Bobby to guilt Jolene into coming. And Jolene came. And I was like, are there no tears from Jolene? Is there no drunken scene from Jolene? Is Jolene going to take off her top and sit in the middle of the roller rink? Nope. She's just going to sit there. Why did you waste my time with Jolene?
Yeah, we didn't get any Jolene content, really. She just shows up. So, but then they start talking about the golf cart. Whitney says that they're getting Bobby a golf cart for her birthday, which is to me a strange gift. I mean, I'm assuming that they live in some sort of like housing community where people take golf carts around and like they go to the community house or something in the golf cart. So maybe that's why it's exciting. But like, generally speaking, I find that to be an odd gift. And I also don't know what the deal is with golf carts and 13-year-olds. Are 13-year-olds like wise enough to drive golf carts? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but what I do know is that golf carts go faster than you would think. I remember the first time I drove one, I was terrified. I was like, this is fast. I thought this was going to be just like a nice, gentle stroll, like rolling stroll down the road. And it was intense. So I don't know especially after Bobby's Dr. Pepper issues later in the episode, I'm not sure if this is a safe gift for her.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's safe either, but I know that we begin as kind of helpless babies and then we become adults and then we turn into helpless babies again when we age, you know, as we age and go back to the sand. And I feel like when you're aging and going back to the sand, the natural car is the golf cart. Mm. So it makes sense that on the other rise up that you would get the golf cart too. Like just evolution-wise but age rule. Wise, that makes sense to me. Does that make any sense to you? It does.
And I, you know what though? And by the way, so here's something that I am recreating from my mother is like a sense of rules. And I did a search. I said, my search was, when can you legally drive a golf cart? And in California, at least 16 and over. I'm going to say in Utah. Let's see what this is probably Utah. In Utah. Legal age of driver is 16. How about that?
Of a golf cart?
Let's see. Let me double check that.
It has to specify golf cart because it's not just regular driving. You don't have to have a license to drive a golf cart.
Oh, you know what? That was so hold on. How old do you have to be to drive a golf cart? Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. This is from the website called Golf Cart Garage.
I'm your private dancer.
Utah. Legal age is 18. It's even worse. Of course it's worse in Utah. So they got Bobby an illegal gift. I want everyone to know this is illegal. My mother is channeling through me. This is illegal. This is not right. You cannot do this. For shame. Bobby should not be in that cart. She should not be terrorizing anyone. How dare you?
Well, Whitney's like, you know,
This golf cart is a huge debate between Justin and I, because a 13-year-old flying around on a golf cart with no seatbelt, no doors, no wings.
No spanakopita, I'd like to add. There's no earbud. This is terrible. There's no in-flight service, no entertainment, no Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm.
There's no rocket fuel. How's it going to go?
So Whitney's like, yeah. And then the first time she picks up a boy, we're done. But on the flip side, she can help me get Brooks to school. She can help me run errands. And she can be my personal Uber. No. No, what? She can't. What are you thinking?
First
you
of all.
Have a 13-year-old driving? Now, listen. Does that mean that I never did that for my parents? Of course. You know. Maybe when they were a little tipsy after nights at the country club and I was 13, 14, I would be driving their car home from the country. Sure, maybe a couple of times. But that was the 80s. That was very different. You can't do that now.
Yeah. And by the way,
that's true. Isn't that horrifying?
By the way, and also go fuck yourself driving a golf cart on my street. Okay. I'm trying to get somewhere and I guarantee it's going to be more important to wherever your golf cart's going. So if I'm stuck behind your 15 miles per hour golf cart because you want your daughter to go pick up some Danone yogurt at the supermarket, then I'm going to be mad because I have places to be because I'm probably running late.
I'm always horrified to see a golf cart coming down my road because I live by the lake. So there are a lot of golf carts because people take the golf cart to the lake or whatever. And you know, whenever you see a golf cart coming, that's a drunk ass neighbor.
Yep.
And they're going to talk to you. There's no getting away from it because they don't have doors and they just can't help themselves. They'll be right. Hey, how you doing? Which one are you in? You down there riding that one? Guess what we did today? Guess what we did? Did you go to the lake? You smell like it. You're wet and you're in a golf cart and you're drunk. Keep going. Keep driving your fucking golf cart. Get out.
I have one word to say about the whole golf cart situation on streets. Austin. Not your Austin, as in Austin. Austin Kroll.
That's a Southern Charm thing, yeah.
A Southern Charm ours. Austin, it's ironic that we're talking about your Austin, but I'm talking about Austin. That is what's happening here. That's what you're raising Bobby to be like by having her, starting her on a golf cart so early on public streets.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay, so...
terrible gift.
Their golf cart.
Golf cart. Say no.
Yeah.
Down with golf carts. So Whitney has invited everyone to Bobby's birthday party except for Mary. I just read something about Mary's son this morning. Wait, did you see this?
No, what is it?
Hold on, let me pull it up. I was driving back. I was driving back in my car, not my golf cart. I was driving back and I saw this headline and then I forgot. Okay, apparently Robert Cosby Jr. This is from Media Takeout. They have pictures though. On his Instagram, he is, the headline is, doing drugs and flashing guns on social media. This is him. He's doing like cough syrup, like he's got pills. I'm seeing the pictures right here.
Are the drugs?
Well, it looks there's pills of some sort. I mean, I haven't looked at
Holler.
But he has cough syrup. He's like showing. It's like, you know, he's got
cough syrup,
prescription codeine syrup, and pills. I don't see pictures of the guns, but someone needs to. Oh, he has like. Things he has weed, you know, but like it's like that, like it's very the pictures are very Euphoria, you know. It's like
was cough syrup a big deal on Euphoria?
Well, no, meaning deal? Like young, like Gen Z kids being like drugs, you know, yeah, like they're excited, like he has pictures of like five pills on his tongue, and he's like with a girl who has like four pills on her tongue.
Oh, what a cute couple. Well, they didn't have wedding pictures taken, so maybe these will suffice.
Yeah, I don't see
good
gun
luck
pictures,
over there.
But...
So Mary's not in this episode, that's for sure. So she's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to put her out. Also, I don't want to open her up to saying mean things around my kids. Like, you know, the last time Mary was around my kids, it wasn't the best visit. We see that clip of Mary being like, well, one of the members of my church, their daughter had a crash and she was ejected from the sunroof and she fell down into a neighborhood. And Bobby's like, is she still alive? No.
Mary laughs. Oh no. No.
That story is so sad. Just the way it was presented was so merry.
I know. Whitney's like, I think my kids are still scarred. So she says, I tried so many times to mend that relationship, and I don't think that she likes me. Well, you know what? This is all about Bobby. So whatever makes Bobby feel good, have him here. By the way, who is Bobby? Is that your neighbor? Who is this person?
And she's like, you know what? What else is going on? Let's talk about Monica. Let's talk shit about Monica. She's like, yeah, I talked to Monica, and she's in a very abusive situation with her mom. And then we see the clip of her mom being like, I'm so broken right now. And Monica being like, see my mom and how she treated me? Like, it shattered something in me right now. And I swear to you, my mom finds different ways to hurt me every single day. Girl.
I am so sorry.
And then
sorry.
We come back.
Yeah. And so, and Lisa's like, wow, I love when things are like conveniently abusive. And Whitney's like, what do you mean? I mean, you can be abused, but you can also be abusive. And if your mom is so horrible, then fucking make changes. And like, I don't think she's sincere in anything. So it seems like a convenient time to have this huge issue with her mother. At this point, I don't even value anything she says. I was like, whoa, Lisa Barlow coming in hot. And by the way, I know Lisa Barlow is not saying that this is a convenient time for anything to happen. Considering all the convenient times for other things happen, like, I don't know. Hot mic moment, you know, like this is a show built on quote unquote convenient moments.
So Whitney's like, Lisa, if you haven't been in an abusive relationship, you don't understand how hard it is to one, recognize how to even have one, that there's abuse and manipulation and that is toxic. And two, tarp.
Listen.
Just stop numbering things if you don't have a two, Whitney.
Yeah, but I did have something. Hold on, let me think of it. And two, tiki torches.
No!
By the way,
I'm wasting my time.
Tarp definitely sounds like someone who would be a cast member on Southern Charm. Like, oh, here's my friend Tarp. So, Lisa.
He's from the wrong side of town, but he's very tall.
So Lisa has decided, you know what? Fuck all this enlightenment that we have about victim blaming. She's, you know what? You're bringing this on yourself. The way she treated her mother was horrible. And this destructive conversation that she's having about Sean and Angie's marriage, it has nothing to do with her mother. It has everything to do with who Monica is. And to me, that feels like an excuse. And it feels awfully convenient that she's like, it's because of what I'm dealing with my mother. And it's because of how horrible her mother is. And then it's like, oh, feel bad for me. And like, I don't feel bad for her.
Oh my God, Lisa. So Whitney says,
I have to believe Monica.
And Lisa tells us, the bottom line is, your trauma is not an excuse to treat us all like shit. And it's definitely not an excuse to spread a rumor about a fan. To me, she's manipulative. And
Monica never said that she did this because her mom was abusive to her. She like, that was never a
right,
thing.
But Lisa's saying that because all of this came out after Monica was getting in trouble.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Monica did this thing where she outed Angie. And then when they started confronting her, it became all about like my mom and the mom storyline and stuff. But, and so she's like, oh, so now she's going to get away with all this shit she did because of her mom storyline. Like that doesn't. That's
no,
not
no.
Fair.
It's all mixed up, though, because Monica, first of all, I don't even believe that Lisa has a very strong case against Monica in this situation, you know, like. Maybe Monica could have been more delicate in that scene, but honestly, it's a reality show. And she said, this is just what people are saying. And it was not coming from a place of like, let me spread gossip. She was just like, this is what people are saying. And it was something that Whitney had started anyway. But also Lisa is like,
I got to disagree with you on that. I think she was really excited to get that ball rolling.
You think
Whitney's
so?
Like, yes. Oh my God. They were sitting over there colluding together because Whitney wouldn't say anything on camera. And then they're like, let's go talk to her. She's like, okay, let's do it. Girl.
But Lisa's
art fucking every guy in town or whatever it was.
But Lisa, either way, Lisa Lisa's story keeps changing about what she's mad at, because Lisa's saying how she thinks that Monica was horrible to her mother at Easter, and that was just totally reprehensible. But then she's saying, no, but Monica was spreading rumors at the party, so that was what was bad. But Lisa's ultimately just mad at Monica, because Monica was a shitty friend to Lisa at Palm Springs. Like, Monica was going after Lisa, and Lisa's just mad. Ultimately, I believe Lisa's just salty about that. And so now anything that Monica does, she gets angry at Monica about. And so she's just basically, I don't know. I think that Lisa coming for Monica and Linda's relationship, though, I don't think that like Lisa should do that, because she's not privy to it in the same way. Like, I mean, we've seen, like, even just a snippet that we've seen, it's just like, it's obviously a lot of dysfunction over there.
Right, but she hasn't seen that snippet. So if all you see is yes, I agree. Lisa's coming really hard here and just being like she's lying about abuse, which is not a good look, period.
Yeah.
Like, so nothing I'm going to say is going to excuse that.
Right.
But if you were only at that party, I mean, when I watched that party scene, we all thought Team Linda.
Because yeah.
Monica's acting like a fucking crazy person, and all Linda's doing is trying to calm her down and not to embarrass the children in front of all those people. Now, of course, then once we saw the Linda scene, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, now you're really seeing. And then we hear what the mom did to Monica when they were, it gives you a whole new, when she was a child is what I was going to say. It gives you a whole new perspective on the dynamic. So I'm definitely not just automatically Team Linda anymore. Mm-hmm. And I definitely believe the childhood abuse and all that stuff, because Linda didn't even deny it, really.
Right.
But I'm not willing to give a full pass to everything Monica does, because I think that she is like a complete replica of her mother in a lot of mm-hmm. ways, as we see as the show starts to unfold. But yeah, Lisa was wrong in
this. Just was like Lisa was going hard in the paint over this about something she doesn't really know, and for reasons that don't totally make sense to me. Like, not that they don't make sense, but like, she is kind of, she's prosecuting a crime that I don't feel like is like it's, she's going hard in the paint over something that I don't think is really that essential to her life, about how Monica treats her mom. So,
well, she's just very triggered in general by Monica, because Monica keeps coming after her.
Yeah, and that's calling what it's
her
all
narcissistic
about.
And all this stuff. So Lisa's just already like ready to, how dare you?
Exactly.
And, that's like, her jaw is literally, you know how Lisa just opens her mouth so wide? Her and Meredith both do it, but they can get like two fists in their mouth, both of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like when she starts really getting triggered, her mouth literally becomes unhinged like a snake. And you could just tell when she's furious, because she's like, oh,
yeah,
I don't believe her.
And Lisa is furious this episode. So then we go over to Heather at a restaurant where Meredith shows up. Meredith's like, wow, it's been a busy day. And Heather's like, yeah, I was just tracking a shipment because Georgia's shoes for prom haven't been delivered yet. And it's like, prom. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen a little baby toddler slow dance to the Rose by Bette Midler? Talk about a beautiful prom moment.
So Heather's like, so speaking of kids, what about Jack's mission? Let's talk about that. She's like, oh, that's so wild. You know, I didn't even realize that missions were 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 4 years a year. I'm running out of things, honestly. They're just very long. They're very involved. Who knew?
It's like raising a toddler. You're always on the call. Hold on, I'm getting a phone call from Brooksy right now. Hold on. Oh, yeah? Congratulations, Brooksy. He just put the square in the square slot for the first time.
Yeah, it's hardcore. I mean, poor Jack has to go out there and preach Mormonism by the book. And I don't think that's what he's been raised in, because according to Lisa, he's been raised East Coast Mormon. And I just don't think that translates.
It's like, oh, wait, there's an East Coast Mormon and a West Coast Mormon. Do you street fight?
Is there?
Do you come at each other snapping at each other and see who can do the best fight balance?
Is there a B. Smalls Mormonism and a Tupac Mormonism? I don't understand.
Are there finger signs that can get across in your brain? This kind of Mormonism, what is that?
No, she just, you know, she says things like she has a cool bishop and she can wear strapless dresses and sell tequila. I've just never heard of that kind of Mormonism before.
Wait, you can wear strapless dresses to church? Who would join that church? I'm going to Blazer Only Church. Thank you.
How could you not wear a blazer to any sort of house of worship?
Mm-hmm. So then we see Lisa and Heather 2 weeks earlier talking about this at that party. And Lisa's like, you know what? Like, the difference is that I don't think it's check the box to go to church. Like, Heather, I would wear this to go to church. And she's wearing a sleeveless, like, beautiful ball gown type, evening gown type thing. And Heather's like, oh, stop. You would not. Just, yeah, that's John, John, would I wear this to church with sunglasses? 100%. I would, John, right? Right, John?
It's like, right? Do you want me to say yes to back you up, or John no
said yes.
To,
John
to
said yes.
Refute slut shaming?
John said yes.
So then Heather's like, please take me to this church that you're practicing faith in as a faith, because I want to know what this faith is. I've never even heard of it. And Heather says, I mean, you always cover your shoulders, or you're not worthy of entering the chapel. I mean, this is Brandon Mormon that doesn't exist. It's like someone has taken a bag and glue gun two interlocking C's and called it Chanel. I'm like, oh, so you've been watching Real Housewives of New Jersey also?
Yeah, I was like, there is a church that does that, and it's called the Church of Bravo.
It's called the Brownstone, okay?
Their Jesus is a Gorga.
Okay? It's called BravoCon.
So Meredith's like, well, look, I guess religion is how we all define it, really. I mean, some of us have a religion where we can, I don't know how to say this, but you know, I'm not going to diss anybody's religion. If she wants to call herself a Mormon, let her call herself a Mormon. What are you going to do about it?
I'm in a good mood, Meredith, moment, and we're not talking about the rumors and the nastiness. So I'm happy with whatever sort of Mormonism, non-Mormonism she has.
And Heather's like, well, it's just that really just pushes my buttons because... Gosh, I mean, she can be whatever kind of Mormon she wants, but I'm invalidated and excluded, and I'm just no longer welcome in the community. Okay, well, to be fair, she's cheerleading for the church, and you're flipping the church off and telling everybody like it's a traumatic cult. So
Heather is such a teenager. She's such, that's the teenager thing. It's like you rebel, and then you get like upset when people get mad at you. Like, but why? My mom doesn't even like me anymore now. It's like, because you're like, you're sticking your thumb up at like, at an institution, and then, and I'm not talking about Karen Huger's marriage, and then you're like upset that institution's like, hey, not cool, man. We don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah. And I think it's funny that kind of at the end of the day, she's jealous of the people who still get to be Mormon, but not follow the rules.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm rebelling against this, but the parties were really good. I still want to be invited to those.
Well, I feel like
game nights are still pretty good, and I've been excluded from those.
Yeah, I feel like probably Heather feels like she did like one thing, which is that she got a divorce and then she was like kicked out of the whole thing. But whereas Lisa can do all these other things and not be kicked out. So now she's like, well, I was kicked out and that's bullshit. So now she's like angry. Well, now that I've been kicked out, I'm angry. But ultimately, she just wanted to get a divorce and stay a Mormon. That's sort of what it sounds like.
So Heather is also wearing this button-down pilgrim shirt with a bow bolo and a pearl necklace over the collar, which is interesting because she's kind of dressing like what she's rebelling against, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if I just went out dressed as taxes.
She... Yeah. She was wearing a tie at BravoCon, and now she has this... She does have this very sort of conservative 1982 kind of... top on, and she's decrying the conservative practices of Mormonism while at the same time dressing like she is running some sort of, I don't know, a church gathering in the early 80s.
Well, listen, I think, you know, I don't think you should be bound by fashions. You know, you should still take what you want from everything. I think this is Meredith's point. Like, you don't want to be a Mormon anymore, but you still love to dress like you're in a covered wagon in the 1800s trying to catch Brigham Young. So you can ask him for a piece of gum before he gets to Oklahoma. All right. It's just, you're allowed to do that.
So Heather asked Meredith how she feels about, like, how she's doing after that cross-country afternoon that they had skiing, And Meredith says, well, I do understand Whitney's concern about there being a fight at her daughter's party. And that to me is a very fair and legitimate concern. And so I'll bring a gift of me saying, you can leave your own party. That'll be fun. And, you know, I'll wish her happy birthday. And then I'm going to, one of my toddler says, this is what they say now. I'm going to dip afterwards.
So then we go to Whitney getting glam with Bobby. It's Bobby's first time in glam. And it's like, I talk about love, I don't know if I should talk. It's like, you can still talk even though they're putting on your lip liner. She's like, how would I know? I've never done lip liner, Mom.
She's like giggling so much.
She's so cute. I'm dying with Bobby. So she's like, watching my baby get glammed, it's like, last week was her first birthday. I can't believe I'm looking at a teenager. And then Bobby looks in the mirror for the first time and she's like, wow, I got eyebrows.
And then we see Heather and her daughter are like wrapping presents, and both her daughters, they're wrapping presents for Bobby and everything. And then Heather calls and she FaceTimes with Angie K to see if Electra's going to come to Bobby's party, because, you know, they're going to get the daughters all together. And they're just like talking. Angie's wearing like a jean jacket, which is not very Hawaiian themed. And Heather asks like, who's coming? And Angie says, well, I only talked to Lisa today. And I think both the kids are coming. And did you hear the good news? Jack is going to Colombia. Oh my God. I didn't even know his grades were that good. No, on his mission, Bogota. Oh, Bogota. Wow. Okay. Wow.
So he got his mission call and nobody told me about that? So, yeah, because Lisa did a whole announcement yesterday at her little brunch, Greek. Boom. And Heather's like, an announcement? What? And then we
little
see
brunch? The brunch. What?
We see the little brunch. And John's like, let's cheers, but let's cheers with water. To my son with the terrible hair. May Colombia have brushes to push your hair all the way forward so you don't feel comfortable. I mean, so you don't feel uncomfortable with normal hair. Congratulations, son.
And is everyone ready to find out where Jack is going to mission? Jack's like, Bogota, Colombia. Like, oh, that is so, what a fun non-Greek place for you to go to. Opa, congratulations.
And Heather's like, wow, I can't believe they had a brunch. She goes, it was small. Honestly, it was small, like Greece. And Heather's like, who was there? And it was Justin Whitney, Azorba DVD in my purse, and Lisa's family, says Angie. And Heather's like, an intimate gathering of what sounds like her best supporters, I guess. She's like, yes, I suppose so. Oh, Heather, I am so sorry.
This just feels like more of the same rejection I've been experiencing. It stings more coming from Lisa. I mean, you're loosey-goosey about Mormonism when it comes to excluding me, and then all of a sudden you're a soldier of the gospel. I'm like, Heather, you've been critical of Jack's, but you've actually made a teenager's choice of how he's gonna spend the next few years your storyline, and then you're like upset that you're excluded from a celebratory meal for him. I mean, it's not that shocking to me.
Yeah, me neither. So Heather's like, so I'll just ignore her tonight so I don't lose my temper. Could you imagine? I love this show. I'm going to go fight with somebody at a roller skate party because I wasn't invited to their son's mission announcement at brunch.
I know. So now Bobby's friends all come over and they all hop onto like a magic school bus thing. And it's like a party bus. And they head over to the roller rink. And the kids are just, of course, like having the best time. And they get there and everyone's showing up. Everyone's putting on skates. And then and, you know, Lisa's rearranging tiki torches in the corner. She's like, hold on, this one's really bothering me over here. And she, like, rotates it so that, like there's 1 inch more of fluorescent paint that's visible to everyone to see.
Yeah, they just painted something onto the tiki torches. I thought we were going to get full tiki torch painting, but I think they got tired. Tiki torch art shame you, but those aren't great. I'm just going to say, there were two of you. There was a tarp. There was a whole day. This sucks.
There's either, here's what we got to find in that tarp, either a dead body or some fully painted tiki torches.
For real. Okay, so roller rink. Let's see.
Meredith Mark shows up in a bikini. She's a bikini and a blazer.
Yeah. The ladies start gathering. Whitney's like, have you seen Heather? And Angie's like, Lisa, I was excited about Jack's announcement, and I told Heather how he was going to Columbia. And Aunt Lisa's like, oh. She starts doing that thing where she's pulling the sides of her hair. She's like, why did you tell her? Why did you tell her, Ange? Why, Ange? Why? She's like, well, it just came out because I was super excited for him, and I think she felt hurt that she wasn't involved or invited. But I don't think it's that big of a deal, Ange. I don't, how my hair? I can't stop pulling my hair. Somebody restrain my hands.
I can't believe you decided just to gloss over the part where they're all roller skating and Lisa and Angie are roller skating together. And Angie is like, this is like Greek dancing. It's like, wow. Right on cue. So, Lisa.
I don't even know what part she's really saying Greek anymore because I put it after every other word. So I see Greek. It in my notes and I'm like, yeah, I can skip that Greek reference.
That was the actual Greek reference. So Lisa's like, inviting Heather to Jock's mission brunch didn't make sense to me because she made it very clear at Greek Easter that she doesn't think it's like a good idea that Jack's going on a mission. So I'm like shocked that like she feels hurt. Like, but like Heather and I are like in such a better place that like I don't want this. So like I don't want this non-invite to be a big deal.
Hey everyone, that is the end of part one of this recap. Keep your eyes and ears out for part two coming up on our podcast feed momentarily. Be sure to subscribe so that way you don't miss an episode. Catch you on the next one.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tam LaPlaine.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.